Shalom Yehudim, shalom Bnei Noach, shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yotalas B'Tamuz, Parashas Pinchas, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 19 July 2016, webcasting from Israel at War. Israel at War every day with itself. There really is here a civil war, a truly civil war, in that there's no bloodshed. It's a war of words and identity. As Superman fought daily for truth, justice, and the American way, so Israel, the children of Israel, and the land of Israel, war with one another every day over what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be an Israeli. It really is, or so it seems, a war without end that has been waged, I think, every year since the birth of this people at Mount Sinai, where as soon as Moses was given the Ten Commandments, they built a golden calf, an idol. When, as far back as their patriarch Abraham, Moses' great-grandfather's great-grandfather, entered history, they had been at war, or should have been at war, with idolatry. As soon as their leader Moses was given the Ten Commandments, they were at it, doing the opposite of what they had been commanded to do in the Second Commandment that prohibits idol worship, which was so common among the human race at the time. The Jews were commanded, in effect, to be different. Avraham lived in a world in which people believed basically in an indefinite number of gods, because so many were local powers over this lake or that mountain. The Romans wound up with a pantheon of 30,000 gods, I think, before their world collapsed and their gods died. So Avraham was the Jew of his generation for standing on the other side, which was the name of his grandfather, Evil, which means side. On the other side of the river of history, from the rest of mankind, when he said, no, there are not thousands of gods, but one. He truly was the patriarch from whose loins came a people that dwells alone. We just read on Shabbos, Balak, in which that verse was an involuntary prophecy of Bilam, a people that dwells alone. And not coincidentally, it was spoken on July 13, 1992, in the Knesset, during his first speech as Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. This is his second time in that office. This ignoramus when it came to Judaism, the son of and raised by a fanatical communist mother, quoted this expression when he set his course as a new captain of the ship of state. He said Israel would no longer be a people that dwells alone, because this ignorant man thought that was a curse, when in context, it was a blessing. Bilam wanted to curse the Jews, but everything that came out of his mouth was a blessing. That too. Poor Yitzhak Rabin, and we can say the same about too many Israelis today, like the herd of enlightened post-Jewish Israelis, outraged that Rabbi Levenstein told a conference of 700 national religious rabbis gathered to resist the recent wave of relentless assaults on the Orthodox Jewish religion by the so-called Reform and Conservative movements and the Sodomites. There, as we reported last webcast, he said he himself did not use the word gay, but deviant. He objected to officers in the IDF as part of their service, having to watch movies praising sexual deviance, from which some Jews walked out and were court-martialed for that. He also said Reform Judaism is not a stream in Judaism, but in Christianity. I wouldn't put it quite like that, but overall he's in the right direction. What is indisputable is that most of the Jews raised in Reform temples go on to marry people of Christian heritage, whose offspring overwhelmingly do not see themselves as part of the Jewish people. These are the facts. Following his remarks, enlightened Israelis were outraged that this man has any affiliation with the IDF. Not only is he the head of a pre-army yeshiva, he gives lectures to soldiers in uniform. Now the enlightened outside and inside the army are demanding an investigation toward barring him from any future lectures. The enlightened are beside themselves, on the verge of fainting. Break out the smelling salts. This rabbi has no business shaping the identity of young Israelis because he is, well, he's just too Jewish. He takes the Bible seriously, when every enlightened person for the last two centuries, at least, knows that the Bible is a fraud. Five books of Moses purport to be his handiwork as dictated to him by the Almighty, but no enlightened person believes that. They say there were many writers, and the text in use today was redacted by a cabal of rabbis thousands of years after Moses was alleged to have lived, because there are scholars with PhDs in the best universities who preach that there was no Moses. We even have them here in Israel in our universities. I know all this because I was for a time on track to becoming one of them, a PhD in the study of religion who would teach that the Torah Sinai is a con job. Ever since Mount Sinai, this people, like a horse champing at the bit, is endlessly struggling to throw off the yoke of the mitzvot that make this people dwell alone. Today in the most enlightened progressive circles, the biblical description of sodomy as an abomination has been tossed into the garbage dump of history. On the contrary, sodomy is beautiful, normal, nothing wrong with that except being cruel, except the cruelty associated with those unenlightened people who disapprove of the behavior. And what I have found so interesting in this latest brouhaha and the demands today that Rabbi Levenstein be indicted for racist-like speech is the bizarre quality of the criticism that is so illogical. For example, as we saw last webcast when the Meretz M.K. Ilan Gilon, this character of a caricature of a bohemian who hates religion, he said this rabbi should never be teaching about Jewish identity. And so Tzipi Livni has piped up and said more or less the same thing. This was hate speech. And Rabbi Levenstein and other rabbis are part of a larger process, she said, that, quote, threatens Israel's identity as a Jewish and a democratic state. There's that miserable expression again, Jewish and democratic. That's an oxymoron, because the speaker sees democratic as not Jewish. That's not true. What she was saying is that opposition to deviant sexual behavior is un-Jewish, which of course makes no sense in light of what's written in the Torah Sinai. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah is only one of many, many sex stories. It is unique, though, to the Jewish people, and here is Tzipi Livni standing the morality of that story on its head. What can a person like her be thinking when saying something so illogical? Illogical being a kind of a synonym for contradictory logic. It comes from the word logos, a word in Greek, so that logical is a reasonable flow of words making sense, and illogical the opposite. And yours truly sees the dimension here of the eternal resistance and rebellion of this stiff-necked people to being a people that dwells alone and is not swept up in the fashions of the day, such as the current self-hypnosis in the West about homosexual behavior. Naftali Bennett also exposed his borderline connection to classical Jewishness in sounding like Livni and criticizing Rabbi Levenstein for his exclusionary view of any sector of the Jewish people. This misses the same mark by hearing what is not being said. The enlightened hear a whole condemnation of a people, this community, when what the rabbi had in mind are a few specific behaviors. Since 1969, the year men walked on the moon, and the gays came out of the closet insisting there was nothing wrong with them, that it was society that was wrong and bigoted, the gays' greatest success was getting everyone, the whole world, to adopt their vocabulary, adopt their code word for themselves, which is gay, that has served to replace and cover up the word describing the very thing these people are noted for, which is sodomy. Their second greatest triumph was distracting the public discourse from this behavior to the subject of love, when love has no more to do with homosexuality than heterosexuality necessarily does. The oldest profession is prostitution, which exists because men have biological drives that drive them to prostitutes, men who are not looking for love, who do not want to live with the prostitute and have children with her. Likewise, the homosexual drive has absolutely nothing to do with love. That's a smokescreen. And I'm saddened by Israelis like Livni and Bennett, who recoil from taking a position that would put them outside the conventional wisdom abroad, the consensus of the enlightened in New York, in London, Paris, and Berlin. I find it most dizzying to read of a Livni who sees an opposition to sexual deviance an un-Jewish value. Who is her teacher? She sounds like Jill Stein of the last webcast, that abysmal ignoramus of Judaism who at least has the excuse of being raised in the Reform Movement's bogus version of Yiddishkeit. Livni, by contrast, grew up in Eretz Yisrael in a Shomer Shabbos family, national religious home. Bennett, too. Their views on this matter are saddening for their non-Jewish feelings and thoughts. When the civilized West has spun off its axis in the matter of sexuality as it has, Israel should most certainly be a people that dwells alone by adhering more than ever to the Torah Mesinai presented to this people at Sinai. Yes, the post-Jewish defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, promised a thorough investigation into the views of Rabbi Levenstein, head of a yeshiva, subsidized by the army to the tune of 50%. What I find a telltale symptom of the post-Jewish left here, including too many in the national religious camp, is a self-assurance of the implicit belief that this behavior is genetic, and it's therefore cruel to criticize people who engage in it because they can't help themselves, when there's no scientific evidence whatsoever, after nearly 50 years of research, that the behavior is genetic and those who engage in it have no control over it. It's a highly unscientific statement, and one may call the progressives who think this way really less than progressive. They're the most backward and primitive of people. Their belief is just that, a belief unsupported by science. It's no more scientific than astrology. And the tip-off of the mental disturbance found in the supporters of this behavior is vehemence, in which they strike back at those who disagree with their belief. The media in Israel today made it sound as if Stalinist Russia was right around the corner. Rabbi Levenstein used a perfectly kosher Hebrew word, sote, from the infinitive lishtot, meaning to stray off the path that you wanted to travel on. I don't know, like taking the wrong exit on an interstate. And in Hebrew, the word min, it means kind, type, or sex, male or female. So sote min means deviant sex, just like in English. Lishtot means to deviate. And that is exactly what is going on when the normal sex drive drives the male from his normal target, a female, and mistakes another man's bodily openings for a woman's. It is sexual deviance and is therefore not inherently an insult to speak that way, which is what the enlightened have made of the rabbi's remarks. What I also find interesting and troubling in this issue is how the past has disappeared. It's been forgotten that until quite recently, it was the conventional wisdom that homosexuality was deviant, a mental disorder, and so it was listed until 1972 or 73 in the Manual of Mental Disorders called the DSM. In fact, the term sote min was not invented by this rabbi. It's been around for generations. What also bugs me about the new dispensation is the complete ignorance or disrespect of the giants of psychology, of psychiatry and psychoanalysis, who were all Jews, starting with Sigmund Freud and his circle. And it was Freud's great contribution in favor of homosexuals, which was to approach the disorder scientifically and without moral judgment. A healer, Freud did not browbeat his patients into giving up their addiction. All perversions are addictions. He tried to help them sympathetically. But what he never did, not he and his generations of psychiatrists, was to pronounce the behavior normal. Freud famously commiserated with the mother over her homosexual son and told her there are worse things to do in this life than that, but he never said this handicap was not a handicap. He said it reflected arrested development. And the one time I saw a gay pride parade pass by, I was amazed at how right he was. Here were these grown men acting like little boys, exhibiting their bodies or playing dress-up in mommy's clothes. It was all so juvenile. Rabbi Yaakov Ariel, chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, at a conference last month, described homosexuals as disabled people suffering from a real problem that must be solved with psychological and pharmacological treatments. He also spoke the truth of the predatory nature of some homosexuals who prey on young boys. He also dismissed these gay pride marches, rightly asking, what are they proud of? Have mercy on them. When a person does not have a natural connection to the opposite sex, this is a disability, close quote. He also protested the legitimizing of two parents of the same sex, raising a child and calling that a normal family. He said a child needs a mother and a father, not two parents of the same sex. And I add that it is a crime of society that tolerates these relationships. I think it's a form of child abuse. Buzi Herzog of the Zionist Union also got into the act today by saying Israel is witnessing, fasten your seatbelts, an intifada of dark internal hatred. This is so typical of the left. 20 years ago, in a Westchester County conservative shul. I debated the head of Peace Now in America, and he had the same reaction. I went first and calmly dismissed the very existence of the Palestinian people, and his response was to accuse me of hatred. He said, there's so much hatred here. I wasn't hating anybody. I was speaking truth. Tell people who smoke cigarettes to stop because it's bad for their health. I feel the same way about homosexual behavior. It's medically contraindicated. It's not good for the body. Don't do this thing. But in this case, people who criticize this behavior have become the targets of snarling accusations of bigotry and hatred, of homophobia, and irrational fear of this behavior. Their hysterical, off-target accusations, I think, are symptomatic of their own irrational inner life.
ועל הבית הגדול והקדוש
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. So, I have this personal side to my opposition to the hysterical reaction to classical Jewish teaching. In addition to the issue of Jewish versus Israel's pseudo-Gentile morality and sexual matters, these same enlightened Israelis inside the army and out are backed by the conservative and reform movements in the states, who this very evening are expecting a vote in the Knesset on their desire to see public mikvaot open for their use and their bogus conversion ceremonies. It's angering that those who support them, like Naftali Bennett, in their drive for equality between all streams, the blindness to this reality that these streams are drying up real fast. Why is anyone in Israel supporting them when the facts of what they're up to are plain? Several years ago, the conservative movement terminated employing their one man in Jerusalem because they couldn't afford him anymore. A year and a half ago, the flagship conservative Jewish theological seminary in Manhattan, notice the two Gentile concepts in that name. Jews have no theology, and we study in yeshivas, not ceremonies. They announced that they were downsizing, selling air rights over their property. A third of the conservative yeshuls in America over the last generation have shut their doors, and the reform are surely in no better shape, not with the intermarriage rate of 70% or more. Don't these Israelis know of this crisis in American Jewry as evidence of the failure of these movements? The only stream in the U.S. that is growing is the Orthodox, which word means correct opinion, which is proven correct by the facts. They're the only ones who are surviving. It rubs yours truly the wrong way when Israelis can be so arrogant and ignorant, as I said before, to dump into the garbage pail the works of Freud and Franz Alexander and Otto Rank and Wilhelm Reich and Salvatore Arietti and Eric Erickson and Eric Fromm, generations of Jewish geniuses in psychiatry and psychology, none of whom thought homosexuality was normal. They were all physicians who knew human anatomy and saw deviance in the misuse of the reproductive system and excretory system and wanted to understand how and why it happened and help cure it. So the civil war in Israel is a daily struggle between Orthodox Jews and rebellious Hellenist Jews, for that is what this clash between Orthodoxy and its opponents is all about. In the age of the kings of Israel, they wrestled, the people did, with the syncretism of Jews simultaneously observing Jewish law and still on the side worshipping idols. The story of Purim is about the Jews in exile who did not want to return to Eretz Yisrael, preferred to stay in that Gentile empire. Christianity as well began as a community of Jews bent on appealing to Gentiles and becoming more like them, writing their story in Greek, dismissing circumcision and kashrut and the Sabbath, etc. The Reform movement was born in Germany by Jews desperate to strip themselves as much as possible of outward signs and behaviors characteristic of the Jews, and today in Israel, I see the enlightened shuddering in horror that the enlightened abroad will think Israel is a backward, medieval, superstitious community that oppresses and humiliates the Sodomites. How embarrassing for them to have such as Rabbi Levenstein, who used a term that was perfectly acceptable a half century ago and for generations before then. There was also that frightening other face to this top story in Israel today, for its threat of totalitarian mind control. To express oneself as the rabbi did is now to court arrest for hate speech. Criticize this behavior and you are no better than the Black Lives Matter brutes calling for the murder of policemen. And speaking of that, I hope you all saw how the murderer of those three policemen in Baton Rouge was a follower of Louis Farrakhan, as Reverend Jeremiah Wright was, who preached such poison for 20 years into the head of his parishioners, including Barack Hussein, who I say is responsible for the current anarchy. Thank you. Now, last item, speaking before of non-Orthodox American Jewry and their constant aggression in the matter of the Western Wall and now the ritual bath, the mikvahot, maybe you saw how the ADL has criticized the GOP platform committee for deleting any reference to the legendary two-state solution. It's no surprise that the handful of fools in the so-called Israel Policy Forum also criticized the GOP for this. But the ADL, once upon a time it was a worthy organization, now they are more of the lost souls floundering in the sea of American Jewry, sinking beneath the waves. J-Post man in Washington, Michael Wilner, also reported today that some American Jews are fearful of Trump, calling for making America first again, because it sounds too much like the America firsters from the 1930s and 40s, who were off-the-rails anti-Semites like Charles Lindbergh. In that period, this group hysterically warned that the Jews were pushing the U.S. into the European War, when there's no connection whatsoever between then and now. Trump's trademark slogan, Make America Great and First Again, and the historical ignorance here of some of these Jewish academics in America for talking the way is just intolerable. Anyway, that's it for this Tuesday evening. I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.